to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It is with great pleasure that I say we are joined by a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy and an extraordinary contributor to what I think of as the war for the free world, the fight to help the rest of us understand what's at stake and to lead by example in waging it to save Western civilization. She is Noni Darwish, the director of Former Muslims United, the founder of Arabs for Israel, a frequent contributor to the superb publications of the Gatestone Institute, and the author of numerous extraordinarily important books, including Now They Call Me Infidel, Why I Renounced Jihad for America, Israel, and the War on Terror. She's also the author, most recently, of Wholly Different, Why I Chose Biblical Values Over Islamic Values. Noni Darwish, thank you so much for taking some time. It's great to have you. Welcome back.
My pleasure, Frank. Thank you.
I wanted to mull with you a topic that I've just been stunned isn't more in the public focus at the moment. We're hearing, of course, and with good reason, about, it seems, a nearly endless stream of media personalities, politicians, journalists, and others who are being challenged and in some cases punished for their sexual harassment of women, colleagues, others, and in some cases downright sexual abuse. And I wanted to ask you, Noni, as someone who grew up in Egypt and who has spent most of her life either living under the supremacist Islamic doctrine of Sharia, or warning about it and helping the rest of us, as I say, understand the threat it poses. What do you make, Noni, of the fact that the practice of sexual harassment and abuse and misogyny more generally is not simply, you know, condoned by Sharia, it is considered obligatory, and that that's not getting talked about at all?
Exactly. And the problem, I mean, there was an Egyptian sheikh who recently said that it is a national obligation to sexually harass women who are not properly dressed and even rape. So it's kind of a punishment of a woman if she's out of line and her ankle is showing, or God forbid she's wearing a jeans with a torn, that she deserves to be sexually harassed and even raped. I remember my days when I was a young girl in Egypt and I would walk downtown Cairo and it was very crowded. And we, because the punishment for us for not wearing our head cover would be pinched as we walk. And I remember that, and it was very degrading, very humiliating. It's almost like I am a loose woman for not being properly covered, so I deserve to be pinched. I deserve to be sexually harassed on the street.
And if I'm not mistaken, Noni, those were back in the days when it was not that repressive in Egypt. So you can only imagine how much worse it is in those countries where it is in full thrall to Sharia. And Noni, you've been so courageous and exemplary in trying to warn about the various manifestations of this kind of misogyny towards women and girls under Sharia, including in America. And I'd like you to talk about one of the most egregious examples of it, this practice of female genital mutilation. There's a federal trial going on, as you know, in Michigan. But is that likely to be kind of the extent of it, do you think? Or is that really the tip of a much larger and quite appalling iceberg in America today?
It is the tip of the iceberg, absolutely. It is a kind of sexual oppression of women. Female genital mutilation is more than just a little operation on a girl, a child, really, against her will, because you cannot consent a seven-year-old girl
to a permanent mutilation, no less.
Absolutely. And this is a lot bigger than just for one or two people. This is implanting in our culture an element of despising women, of wanting to put them in their place, of wanting to deprive them of their natural God-given right to be a woman, to be a female, and telling the woman that your place is only for childbirth, and that's it. And it is creeping into our culture, and it's going to be devastating on the way we look at women.
Yeah, you've written a book about biblical values versus these Islamic values, and this is a case where they clearly are very much clashing. Noni, let me ask you about one thing that you've mentioned to me before, and I think it's important to keep this in mind when we're talking about this practice of female genital mutilation, and that is you've described the contribution that you think it makes, at least in the minds of those who promote it, not just to keeping women down, but to facilitating jihad. Connect that dot, if you would.
Absolutely. Islam, the objective of Islam is not to make people happier or, you know, love one another. The goal of Islam is to expand. That's the goal of Islam, at the expense of other religions, of other ideologies and other faiths. Expand through jihad. So the number one duty of a man in Islam is to go to war and sacrifice his life, his family, his wife, everything for jihad, for the expansion of Islam. And what's standing in the way in that objective is a man who loves his wife.
And his wife loves him and doesn't want him to possibly sacrifice himself.
And a man who loves his children and makes God, you know, family first. So in Islam, family should not come first. Jihad should come first. In that formula, in that calculation, women are the enemy. Women must be oppressed, and women must be shown their place in order for the man to never give them anything higher than jihad. A woman in Islam should never be above jihad.
And she certainly shouldn't have an attachment to her man that might, again, keep him from serving in that role. And Noni, very quickly, let me turn to one other piece of this, the sort of Sharia supremacism and jihad against the West. There's this controversy raging at the moment, as you know, about President Trump retweeting several videos that show, to varying degrees, it seems, if not actually the practice of some of these jihadis in Western societies, exemplary behavior that one has associated with them. What do you make of this, Noni? Is the president right to be, if not specifically pulling up these particular videos from this particular post, but making the general point we're at war with Sharia supremacism?
Absolutely. I mean, they should be happy that a president is courageous enough to point at what everybody is scared of, which is radical Islam, which is jihad. I mean, every day Muslims are destroying tombs and churches of tombs of the, you know, of Jewish people and churches of Christians in the Middle East. This is happening everywhere.
And killing Christians and others where they can get their hands on them, of course.
And it's going to Europe. Look at their killing Jews in Europe now, and many Jews are leaving Europe.
You've written a very important piece about anti-Semitism, in fact, that I want to come back to you about in the very near future, but we are hard out of time. And Noni, I'd also wanted to talk to you about the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has defamed you, among others, as a Islamophobe. There's so much more to talk about. I hope you'll give us a chance to do so in the near future. In the meantime, stay well. Come back to us soon. We'll talk to the rest of you, I hope, again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.